Hello and welcome to From the Recruit. My name is John, and this podcast is going to be about the two-way games Watford had this past week. Where you know about the 4-2 defeat away at Norwich and the 1-0 win away at Rotherham. Colin headed out to Norwich with our good friend Ollie Wicken, his son Ed, for the midweek clash, and Mike headed up to Rotherham on Saturday with little Arlo, who, well, those who've been listening for a long time will probably assume, and you'll be rightly to assume, that he's not little anymore. But they headed up to Rotherham and the New York Stadium. And both of these are what we like to call our diary podcast, where we just sort of record throughout the whole game, share the thoughts at that moment, and you can hear the ebb and the flow of what happens to a football fan as they watch their team play away. So, here they are, the two lads, Colin first at Norwich, Mike at Rotherham, and hey, the plan of action is we'll do another podcast in the week where we can reflect slightly differently on the last week and, how life is like as a Watford fan, which is what we do every single week. Come on, you horns. Over to you, Colin.
Just walked into Carrow Road, this yellow and green stadium, with Ollie and his son Ed. And if the maxim is true that says if you only go to the football for the football, then you've taken the wrong turn in life, then it's true to say that our new tradition and history of taking a curry from a local restaurant at around 5:30, 6 before an away game, particularly in midweek, is certainly adding to the enjoyment and excitement of going to away games, because quite often the football is the least interesting part of your away day. We've been looking at the lineup, and Ollie particularly was a little disappointed that Rajovic had been picked, and he felt that it was time to give Martins a go up front. And I have to say, I can't see how that would make our team any worse. It would only make the team better, because we all agree, I think, now that Rajovic really is technically not adding much to the performances. He's not great at heading, he's not great at passing or holding up the ball. So anyway, in Val we trust, and he has been picked. Aspria on the bench, Andrews on the bench, and Dennis on the bench. And I suspect that's because he's not quite ready for a full 90. But it's good to have those players on the bench, and we'll see how we get on. We've had a pretty good record here over the last few years. I think we beat them 5 times in a row when they were in the Premier League, and then obviously we were staying in the Premier League and they had a year out and came back, and we beat them again twice. So I think it's 5 times in a row. We beat them here last year with a bio sprint and tap-in for the win there. So excited. I love this ground. Something very special about it. I think partly because it's old and partly because it hasn't really been developed very much. The colours are great. The fans are loud and they're passionate about their team. So it feels like a proper footballing cauldron, and there is, unlike Bournemouth and Palace and Luton, there's a kind of friendly rivalry, I think, between two clubs, because we have echoed each other in terms of league position over the years, and here we are again, both fighting to get into the playoffs and having very similar type seasons. So it'll be a big game for them. The locals are slightly downcast, as far as we can tell from the chats we've had so far. Don't feel particularly hopeful. They consider us one of their bogey teams. And, of course, Watford fans are pessimistic and foolishly optimistic in equal measure, like all football fans. So I shall keep you updated, John, as the game progresses. But that's my letter from Carrow Road by the Brigadier. So it's 19 minutes in, and unfortunately we've gone 1-0 down, as is often the way with our team at the moment. Quite a good play from Norwich, going down the right wing, crossed the ball in, header. Looked like he saved it, Hamer, but then the referee looked at his goal line technology and the goal was given. We've been quite bright. Kone's looking lively and good. We've had a sort of couple of half-ish chances, but they seem more threatening when they go forward, more direct, and they penetrate better than we do. So 1-0 down after 20 minutes. Let's see how we react. So we're now 27 minutes into the game, and Hoot has given away a penalty. It's a bit of a strange one. Talk about that later, but Ashley Barnes is about to take it. Here he comes, and saved! Saved! And scored on the rebound. Hamer saves it, comes back out, and Ashley Barnes heads it in. So, after 27 minutes, it's 2-0. But let's not forget, they were 2-0 up at Vicarage Road, and we won 3-2, so don't give up hope. So, the first half was drawn to a close, and in the 41st minute, we scored. It came to Semmer on the left-hand side. He cut inside. I think he took a shot, but he skewed it, and it went across, and Rajovic was there to shin, stomach, chest it in. Not quite sure which bit of his body it went in, but we scored. And almost immediately after that, Norwich went up the other end, shot from outside the area, grazed the top of the bar. And then a minute or two after that, Kone's through. And instead of taking it on and having a shot, he's around about where the penalty spot is, knocks it out to Martins, who cuts in on his left, and the shot is blocked. So we were nearly 2-2, which I don't think we've deserved. They've been more penetrating, they've been better, had better chances. We've looked a bit lacklustre and a bit lacking in confidence and lacking in intensity. But here we are, it's 2-1, we're in the game, and Jamal Lewis looked like he got a bad knock, but he got up and he's limped off, so hopefully he's not injured. More to come. So it's still half time, but I just wanted to pass on this conversation we had at our pre-match curry at the Namaste India, just around the corner from Carrow Road, which I highly recommend. Definitely number one in the curries that we've had this season at Swansea and Preston and Hull. But and Sheffield Wednesday, where Mike and his brother came with us. This was definitely the best food. And I highly recommend a pre-match curry. Fills you up, lovely and warm on a winter's night. Anyway, enough of that. The conversation we had was, it was Ed, in fact, Ollie's son, said, which player in the Watford team do you like the cut of his jib? And I said, well, can you define that? And he said, no, I can't really, but it means something to all of us, doesn't it? So whose jib do you like the cut of? And both Ollie and Ed went for Chat for Tadze. I think they like the unremarkable haircut, the socks round the ankles, the get the ball and go forward. So they liked him. They liked the way he moved, the way he was on the ball. But for me, I think it's got to be Kone. There's something silky smooth about him. He's tall and elegant, and when he gets the ball, it's very hard to get it off him, and he can squeeze through tight spaces. But he does it, it's seemingly like he moves like water. So his jib is the one I like the cut of, and I think that could be a question for listeners and for a pod one day. Whose jib do you like the cut of? As you may be able to hear, the Watford faithful are cheering. An absolute incredible finish from Asprey from about 22, 23 yards on his left foot. He hit it so hard, went off the inside of the crossbar or possibly the post, nestled in the net. It's 2-2. Come on, you Hornets. 72 minutes. 2-2. Come on. Asprey and Dennis came on after about 62 minutes, and Asprey has made the difference. At 2-2, it feels like there's only one team that can win this. But let's wait and see. It's nerve-tingling stuff here at Carrow Road. Obviously jinxed it with my last comment. It's now 77 minutes on the clock, and Norwich have broken down the left. Ashley Barnes went out to the left winger and beat the run of our retreating defence, slotted it in the far post. It is now Norwich 3, Watford 2. Very, very disappointing after fighting to get back in this game that we've made some errors, given the ball away, and they've gone and scored what could prove to be the winning goal. But there's still 13 minutes plus another 5 or 6, I suspect, so plenty of time for Watford. It's a very open game now. Kiembe's come on for Chat for Tadze, and let's see if we can pull off the great escape. So, just walking back to the car, and the final score was Norwich 4, Watford 2. They scored a fourth goal quite quickly after the third goal. And after that, nothing much happened as far as we were concerned. We seemed to slightly lose our way. Ince came on, Kiembe came on, Andrews came on, but it was all too little too late. Watford's player of the match was undoubtedly Ismail Kone, who ran himself into the ground and was here, there and everywhere. And of course, Asprey's incredible strike which brought us all to our feet cheering and believing that we could take 3 points. But unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way. Talking with Ollie and Ed, we can't really work out what's gone wrong and why suddenly we're playing these games and we've started losing games, not drawing them. And we haven't only won one game in nine. Things are looking a little bit bleak at the moment. And something's got to change. Maybe it's an attitude, maybe it's a change of personnel in different positions. Something. Just to try and get our mojo back, because we have certainly lost it. We can't defend, we can see too many goals. And at times we're exciting to watch, but other times we move the ball so slowly that other teams are able to set themselves and defend against us, and we find it very hard to break teams down. But in the second half, the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes, we played well, we played some good football. We got our equaliser. It looked possible that we could go on and take the 3 points, but we let them score from losing the ball, giving the ball away. Delhi Bashiru gave it away, it came down the left, and yeah, lad scored. And after that, it didn't really look like we were going to get back in it. So, very disappointing evening. But the good takeaways, the positives, the curry. The curry at Namaste India in Norwich, and Asprilla's goal. And that's about it.
A podcast made by Watford fans, for Watford fans, from the Rookery End.
Massive thanks to Colin and Ed and Ollie for flying the flag at Carrow Road in the week. They've now passed the baton on to me. I'm just in the car. It's 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, just about to point my trusty steed north and head to Rotherham. And judging from Colin's last message, his final check-in there before heading back from Norwich, the mission today is pretty clear. Watford need to refine their mojo. Things have gone astray. Things are going wrong. And Watford not getting the results. The performances are leaving a little bit to be desired. And yeah, Watford just need to get back on track. So mission one, rediscover the Hornets mojo. And a little submission to that, John has asked and said, look, see if you can do it. See if you can report on the day, if you like, without talking about what we already know, which is the fact that Watford is shy of a striking option. We know that. We know that's the situation. So I guess the question that we're looking to solve today, the problem we're looking to solve today, is how do we fix it? How do we go about circumnavigating that issue? So as the day goes on, we'll see how we feel about that. We'll see how Val plans to deal with that and how he does deal with it, how the players react. And yeah, I'm off to Rotherham. Come on, you Orns.
So we've arrived at Rotherham. We've parked up safe and sound. The M1 was kind to us. £3.50. for parking for the day in what I think is the town centre. We're going to go and have a little look at Millmore, which is still standing over the other side of the road from the New York Stadium. So we're going to go and check that out. But the M1 was kind to us. We've made good time. Arlo, you've kept me company on the journey up. Which other supporters did we see? We've kept our eyes peeled for fellow fans on the move, haven't we?
We've seen Chesterfield, Wolves, Sutton.
West Ham, was it?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell. All these coaches have blacked out windows these days. Everyone is travelling in style. Now, Arlo, your last away game was QPR. We obviously got the win there. That was good fun. A lot of your mates support QPR, so that meant a lot to you, that one. Meant a lot to me as well. It was a good win. Dude, yes. Dug it out on the Sunday afternoon, didn't we? What makes a good away day for you?
Winning.
Right, OK. Well, I think that's fair. So, same for me as well. I think we're very attuned this afternoon, Arlo. So, to win, what do Watford need to do today? Do you think there'll be any changes? I think someone who got a bit of stick on Tuesday from Val and from me was Jamal Lewis. What would you stick with him?
Yes, because he's good attackingly, but he struggles in defence. But if he's struggling today in defence, then I'll take him off for Morris, because we are facing bottom of the league. So really, he should be all right. But if he isn't, I'd bring him off.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. Give him another chance. He is a decent footballer. We've seen that. Struggled on Tuesday night, I thought. And as Val alluded to in his post-match press conference, was beaten too easy by Hernandez for that first cross and subsequent goal. But I think giving him a chance to redeem himself in a game like this is important. Someone else, Arlo, who got a bit of stick from Valerian Ismail in his post-match interview, certainly with Andrew French in the Watford Observer, was Emmanuel Dennis. What are you doing with with him as we approach kickoff today? Is he getting a start for you?
I think I'd still leave him on the bench because when he comes on, he can impact the game a lot. But sometimes I think he is much better than Rajovic because he's just a better footballer overall. He might not get on the balls that are crossed into him, but if you think about it, he does more than Rajovic because Rajovic just kind of waits in the six-yard box for crosses in and occasionally gets on them.
But still, you want to start with Rajovic, see how he gets on?
Yeah, because last time he played Rotherham, he scored two, so...
Decent. Evidence-based decision-making there, Arlo. I like it a lot. We're going to wander into town. We're going to go and check out Millmall, which is still standing. It's just the other side of the New York Stadium. I've been to Millmall. I've never been to the New York Stadium, so looking forward to that. Arlo, I'm going to push you for a prediction before we get out of the car. You tend to get less confident as game time approaches. So what are we, sort of 2.5 hours before kickoff? You're probably at your most confident. How are you feeling? What's your prediction?
3-0 Watford.
Come on, lad. We'll take that. Up the Goldens. Come on, you Horns. So, first mission of the day accomplished. We've been to Millmall. A tremendously friendly security guard let us in so we could have a closer look around. We walked down the walk that away fans would have done in years gone by. Arlo, what did you make of that ground? Proper throwback, right?
Yeah, it looked very hostile.
Yeah, that's a really, really good word. And I think coming to and being able to have a look at a ground like Millmall, you know, the walk down to the away end, I'm sure loads of you listening will have been to it, but it's all surrounded by a scrapyard, effectively. The owner of the ground also owns a scrapyard and all the ground around it. It's a very, very thin, tight, hemmed-in walk down to the away end, and you can sort of... If you squint, you can imagine having to do that back in the day, and it's an incredible difference. Now we've turned away, walking back towards the new stadium, and you can actually just see it there over the road, glistening in sort of, you know, all nicely done out with signage and glass frontage, and it's the difference between Millmall and the new stadium, and the difference between old stadia. From sort of, well, the 90s and before, really, and what we're used to now is really quite stark. And it was, yeah, just took a moment really there just to take it all in. All the seats are still there, or at least most of the seats are still there. There's a new stand that's seen better days. That got ransacked, I think. Well, not ransacked, but certainly people were breaking in and sort of just making a bit of a mess of it. But the seats for the other three stands are still in, and a local team still plays there on a Sunday. There's going to be a game there tomorrow. Obviously, it's a Saturday we're talking today. So, yeah, the pitch is still marked out. The corner flag's still there. The goalpost's still up. It's still being used for youth football and the occasional Sunday league fixture, which is absolutely tremendous, because ultimately these things are community assets, and for it still to be used, and I guess for players to play in such a historic place, is pretty extraordinary. So a lovely little detour before we head to the main event. Really, really good. Try and put some photos on our Instagram perhaps or Twitter to show people who haven't been to Millmall exactly what it's like. But Arlo, now, so we've seen the past, on to the future. How are you? We're what, about an hour and a half away, hour away from kickoff now. How are you feeling? You're feeling confident?
Yeah.
Care to update your prediction?
Still 3-0.
Come on, you Horns. So inside the New York Stadium for the first time. Lovely little compact ground. Reminds me of a little shrunk version of the Rico or the CBS Stadium in Coventry. It's got that sort of big wall above the main stand, which I assume is sort of housing the executive and conferencing facilities that most of these modern grounds seem to have. But lovely little compact stadium, the Watford end filling up nicely. I think we're expecting about 2,000 Watford fans this afternoon. The Rotherham's fans we've spoken to outside, absolute walking cliches, all incredibly friendly, very, very warm welcome here to Rotherham, but none of them really seem to hold out much hope of a win. They clearly haven't been watching too much of Watford recently, but the team news has come through. Arlo suggested that Porteous might get a break, and that indeed has proved to be the case with Pollock coming in for him. I assume Sierra Alta
is playing that role in front of Livermore, who is dropped to the bench, presumably to give his aching bones a bit of a rest. So, yeah, I think Pollock coming in, if it makes sense for it to be this one. He hasn't really done too badly since he came in. Obviously, only played two games, but he's done okay. The big question there, I guess, is what Sir Alta can do in front of the back four. Can he do that Livermore role? I guess the more he does it, the better he'll get at it. And I guess the thinking from Valerian Ismail is, without wanting to tempt fate, Rotherham bottom of the league, it might be one of the opportunities to do that. The other question we had before kick-off, before the teams came out, was whether Rajovic would keep his place or whether Dennis might get a start. Well, I think we knew the answer to that. Valerian Ismail said in the week that he wasn't going to start Dennis, and it's proven to be the case. Rajovic, the number nine. So, look, this is a real chance for Watford. You can sort of contextualise it. Oh, we like Rotherham, we're going to be fighting, scrapping for it. Of course they are. They're in the fight of their lives, but every team in the Championship wants to win. Every team is going to make it difficult for us. And Watford, as Colin said, as they left Carrow Road, Watford are just in a rut. They've lost their mojo. And if you are going to have a game to regain that, then you probably want to be playing bottom of the table. They're lacking in confidence just as much as we are. So huge opportunity for some of these players. Pollock against Sir Alta coming in. He won't want to be playing second fiddle for the rest of the season. Kayembe back is a massive help. Hopefully the days since Norwich he's been able to get himself up to speed, because I'm not sure he looked like the Edo Kayembe we had before his injury just before the African Cup of Nations. And the other big bit of news, I think it's entirely the right one, Yasser Asprilla in for Mateus Martins. Martins has struggled throughout the season for me, really, as a steward with the bleached blonde hair walks down in front of me. Similar build and gait. Has Mateus Martins taken up a stewarding role this afternoon? I'm not sure, but he may be more use as a steward than as a footballer. Controversial, Mike. Easy. But I think Yasser Asprilla certainly deserves his role in the starting berth. If not, for nothing else other than an absolutely magnificent goal away against Norwich, his confidence will be buzzing. And take shots, that's what happens. So yeah, teams are out, he's rotated, he's shuffled his pack as best he can. We know why it's being done. It's for players that are in the red zone. He's talked about it at length. We kind of know it's going to get shuffled as and here they come, the Hornets. We got a glimpse of them for the first time. Come on, boys, let's turn this thing around. Yellows, yellows. Me again. The other notable bit of team news, I guess, is that Ryan Andrews hasn't been selected at right back. He is sticking with Tom Deli Bashiru. Now, look, everyone knows that Tom Deli Bashiru isn't a right back. I think he does give Watford something in terms of moving the ball forward. I think he can help in that regard. You get more of the midfield play out of him, perhaps the transitioning from front to back is he can help with that. Ryan Andrews spoke to Matt Furness, who was on the pod a little while ago, and he was suggesting that Ryan Andrews is probably a lot rawer than some Watford fans think, probably me included. I've had him down as one of our stars of the season and one that might move on. And Matt's suggesting that just watching him a little bit more closely and look at his stats, he's not actually as developed as we might think, but definitely a better defender than Tom Deli Bashiru. I think Tom Deli Bashiru does offer things, but this is another opportunity for him to show that he can fill in. I think he struggles. I think it's about positioning for him. He does get turned. He does find himself a bit out of shape and a bit out of position, and that can in turn lead to difficulties for us. And we know keeping the ball out of the net is a problem for us. But, you know, Val, he's sticking with it, and we're sticking with Val. Over to them. It's up to these boys to show they can do it. There is enough talent in this squad. There's enough talent in this side. Over to them. Massive, massive game here at the New York Stadium. Some probably controversial choices, but we can do it, can't we? 20 minutes gone, 0-0. Arlo, thoughts so far?
It's been not the brilliant. It's not great so far, but we haven't been bad. They haven't looked very worrying going up the field. We had one chance with Semmer, probably could have shot earlier, had half a chance, but not too bad so far.
Not too bad, yeah, not much going on. Watford sort of struggling to break through too often. Rotherham probably showing why they are where they are in the table. They're struggling as well, and that ultimately looks like two teams pretty short on confidence out there. Tom Delibashiru battling well at right back just a minute ago to snuff out a bit of danger. But the problem Watford really have got is getting the ball moving quick enough and getting those transitions going. Not really much rhythm in the game for either side just yet. Hang in there. Come on, you guys. Half time at the New York Stadium. Sort of mixed reaction from the supporters at half time, bit indifferent, a smattering of boos, a little bit of applause. A puff of the cheeks from Tom Scarborough there in front of us, it probably sums it up. Watford had the best chance just before half time. Lovely ball through from Ismail Kone, set Rajovic away through the middle. Instead of shooting, he opted to square it to Asprilla, who tried to cut back inside and finish. And the move fizzled out. Really, really good opportunity, and it was simply created from Watford. Just took one decent ball from Kone from midfield. Rajovic was away. Probably did the right thing in trying to play in Asprilla. That, as is all too often the case, the move just evaporated. So 0-0 at half time. Watford look all right in terms defensively. I don't know if it's Delibashiru doing what's asked of him. Jamal Lewis had a bit of a sticky start, as is his want. He does worry me in terms of like his physicality. I think he's too easy to get past. But Hurt and Pollock are doing decent work as their centre-back pairing. Sierra doing all right in front of them as well. But all in all, I'm going to give it 5.5 out of 10 for that half. Arlo, rate that half out of 10.
6, because they've defended well, but they just haven't had too many opportunities going up in attack.
Well done, Arlo, respecting the defence there. Half time at the New York Stadium. Bottom of the table, 0. Watford, 0. Substitutions for Watford quite early in the second half. Kone coming off, Chak Patadze coming on, and Edo Kayembe coming off to be replaced by Tom Ince. Interesting switch that. But it has to be said, Watford have started the second half no better than they ended the first, really. And a change, no real surprise. Game drifting. If anything, Rotherham looking the better side in the first 5-10 minutes of this second half. Let's see if those substitutions can make any difference. They're going to have to. And that is the sound of Yasser Asprilla rifling the ball into the bottom right-hand corner of the goal. Just coming from a corner from Watford. First little bit of pressure that Watford have had in this half. Resulting in a goal. We needed that. It's 1-0 Watford. Come on, you Orms. About 15 minutes to go here at the New York Stadium. Still a very, very scrappy match. Rotherham sort of having a decent spell of pressure for the last 5-10 minutes or so. Watford still really struggling to join the dots in the final third. And Jake Livermore's just been brought on to replace Ken Semmer. Ken Semmer put in a really good industrious shift, as you might expect. But it'll be interesting to see if Jake Livermore can give a bit more structure and a bit more bite to this Watford side as we move into the last 15 minutes. Rotherham will still fancy their chances here. It's a tricky one, this. Fourth official has indicated there'll be a minimum of 6 minutes here at Rotherham. 6 minutes for Watford to hang on, because since the goal they haven't created anything. Rotherham keeper hasn't had to make any saves of any shape, and really it's Rotherham who have looked the most likely to snatch an equaliser. They've got another long throw here, something that's been a bit of a problem for not a problem, but something for Watford to deal with as the afternoon's gone on. That has just gone harmlessly out over Ben Heyman's bar. So yeah, 6 minutes for Watford to see this one out. It's been pretty ugly. Don't think there's going to be many DVDs made of this one. It's Rotherham 0, Watford 1. Come on, you Warns, hang in there. Full time at the New York Stadium as we queue in a seemingly never-ending queue to pay for our car parking here in Rotherham. It ended Rotherham 0, Watford 1. Said before the start of the game that hopefully Yasser Espria was going to build on his excellent goal on Tuesday, and he followed it up, didn't he, Arlo?
Yeah, brilliant goal. Two worldies in two games.
And effectively, that was the difference. Two very, very poor teams. Both looked very, very short of confidence. Rotherham pretty much doomed, you'd have thought. If you close your eyes and imagine Rotherham 0, Watford 1, that's probably the game you will have seen. Knowing what you know about Watford, you don't need me to tell anyone listening about the shortcomings, where they're all right, where they're not so good. And that's how it's panned out again today. But they've dug in. There was that one moment of quality that got the job done to give those 2,000-plus Watford fans in the away end something to cheer about on a cold and increasingly wet day here in Yorkshire. We'll kind of get into the car, point the car south. We'll stop for something to eat, and we'll probably have a bit of a deeper chat about the game. Then we're going to pay for a parking. We're going to get going. But we're going home with the 3 points. Rotherham 0, Watford 1. Come on, you ones. So it's the morning after the day before. Well, day and night before. It's about 9:30, 10 o'clock by the time we got in the M1. It wasn't much fun. Throwing it down with rain all the way home. So I had to take it nice and steady. But home safely, I did get. And I've had a chance to sort of formulate my thoughts on the day. And look, on the downside, there's absolutely no doubt that there's an issue there. Watford never really looked like scoring against a team who is pretty much definitely the worst team in the division. They're rock bottom by some margin. And Watford didn't really threaten them. The Rotherham keeper didn't have many saves to make at all. And said it before on the podcast that isn't out of the ordinary, in as much as one moment of quality was the difference between the two sides. I think that is almost the definition of Championship football. Two, in the main, pretty well matched sides, apart from a couple of sides obviously romping away with it. Sides are pretty much able to cancel each other out, and it's often a moment or two of quality that is the difference. And that's how it proved yesterday with the brilliant goal from Espria. Watching the replays on the way home, after having stopped on the way home, not as I was driving, obviously, and this morning, really, really great strike, and great that Yasser Espria has moved on from that brilliant goal on Tuesday, followed it up with another match-winning one on this occasion on the Saturday. So that's really good for him, and hopefully his confidence and impact on game can continue to grow. But overall, it's, you know, you can't argue with the fact that Watford were under the cosh for parts of the game, certainly towards the end,
and the fact that they weren't really looking like scoring against what is ultimately, no disrespect to Rotherham or their supporters, a pretty poor side. And I think it's important to mention Rajovic, and I know he gets a lot of stick, but Matt Furniss said it in on our data pod a couple of weeks ago. He's looking forward to seeing what and if he can be developed into a player who can cut it at this level. And of course, I say cut it at this level. He scored, 9 league goals and 1 cup goal, I think it is. That's 10 goals. If he goes on to score 15 goals this season, which he's on track to do, then very, very hard to say that he's been a complete bust. But obviously, we can see how he plays as well. And he does look like he's out of his depth. And when we're struggling for goals, that's a problem. But what I do like about him, in the warm-up yesterday, they were doing a drill where balls were being fired across into around just the penalty spot, perhaps just in front of the penalty spot, in between the penalty marker and the six-yard box. Balls were being fizzed across for people to finish. And he missed 3 in a row. And obviously everyone, the away end was filling up by that stage. And he knew people were seeing that. And we knew that he knew we knew. But there was this sort of unwritten sort of connection between Rajovic and the fans that he knew he was missing them, but there was a sort of wry smile, but he just took it all in his stride. And I think that's what he continues to do when he plays for Watford. But in the past, we've all too often seen players who have gone missing when wearing a yellow shirt, certainly last year and the year before. We've seen players who haven't been committed to the cause and all too happy just to hide themselves. And you do not get that from Rajovic. He works incredibly hard, and he was still, it looked another heavy pitch yesterday at the New York Stadium, and the rain started coming down. And he was on from minute one to right to the end, and he was still working so hard to chase back, to close down and to try and make something happen. And I think he deserves a lot of credit he's evidently struggling. He's evidently not coming to terms very quickly with Championship football. And who can blame him? I think the leap up from where he was to where he is now is significant. But also, you don't get to be a professional footballer of any sort without some sort of talent and instinct. And there's clearly something there, but very, very hard to find it at the moment. So it's a struggle for him. But I think he deserves credit and he deserves support because he's wearing that number 9. At any football club, that's a big sort of weight to bear, I think. You are the striker. You are the man if you've got number 9. Or certainly it was. But you know what I mean. And he's still working really, really hard. So I think we just got to support him, really, and just get behind him. I know he's got his failings. We all know that. He knows that. But I think he deserves support, not least because we haven't really got many other attacking options. It remains to be seen as to whether Valerian Ismail will play Emmanuel Dennis down the front once he gets up to full speed. It doesn't feel like that's going to happen. So it's a really tricky one with Rajovic, but I've got a soft spot for him, and I'm willing him to succeed. That's not me saying he's not without fault and there's not without question marks over him. Of course there is, but let's stick with him. Let's see what happens. The other player I wanted to talk about a little bit more after yesterday was Tom Delibashiru, and there's a lot of question marks over why he's continuing to start at right back. And I mentioned it yesterday and spoke to Matt, and he suggested that Ryan Andrews is, for all that we love him, for obvious reasons, he's quick, he's skillful, he's great going forward, his dad played for Watford, all that sort of stuff. There are issues about his game, and I've watched him quite closely when he's been playing, and one thing I've noticed is that when the ball comes out to him, often he miscontrols it or squirms under his boot. You get those big old diags from Wes Hurt, and when we're looking for an out, when we're looking to get things going, often he sort of miscontrolled it and looked a little bit out of it, a little bit dazed. And I just wonder whether there's a question mark over his sort of how much of the finished article he is. I mean, obviously he's not the finished article, but does he need to work a little bit harder to be the starting right back for Watford? I'm not saying that's the case, but I just wonder whether that's the the thinking behind Valerian Ishmael playing Tom Delibashiru instead. Ryan Andrews possibly got a little bit further to go because we sort of maybe, as I said, I've been guilty of this, saying that he's one of our best players and he's going to be one of the next cabs off the rank in terms of a high-value player. I wonder whether I've been a bit sort of overexcited by his pace and what he looks like going forward and the fact that he's Wayne Andrews' son and so on and so, forth. So interesting to see how that develops. And Tom Delibashiru is the man in possession of the right back position at the moment. And I thought yesterday in a difficult game he was good. We didn't see him positionally out of shape, which we have seen on occasion. Potentially that's down to the threat that Rotherham posed. But I thought he worked really, really hard and got stuck in. You know, he's a strong lad. He's tough. He's willing to get his get his body on the line. And I thought he did pretty well yesterday. So I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see whether Valerian Ishmael actually sticks with Tom Delibashiru in the next couple of games with right back, just to allow Ryan Andrews just a little sort of helping hand, just let him know he's not quite the finished article, and to keep his progression going. One to watch there. But ultimately, overall, what I'm pleased about is that this Watford side got the job done. It was a poor old game. Neither team played well. A draw was probably the fair result. The Yasser Asprilla finish came from out of nowhere. No other player on either side of the pitch looked capable of doing something like that. That was the moment that changed it. Neither team could really have complained if it had been a draw, but they dug in at the end. In particular, Watford defenders were throwing their bodies on the line. They were sliding in. They were putting themselves in harm's way to defend, and they were committed. And what I really liked was at the end, and everyone there in that away end will have noticed this, they looked delighted when they won it. And they'll have known they would have played poorly. They'd have known it wasn't an entertaining game, but that's not what bothers them. What bothers them is they kept a clean sheet away from home and they got another win. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. We've said it again and again and again about games that we would have lost in seasons past. And that's probably another one. Certainly wouldn't have got the win. This is a team that is in it together. They are working hard. The limitations are as clear as they've ever been. We know that. They know that. They're not brushing sides aside. They're not dominating teams or matches. And they're struggling for parts in virtually every game. But they're together and they're working. They're putting their bodies on the line. They're sweating for the badge. And how many times have we asked for that? Said, if we get that, then we'll be happy. So it was a poor old game in terms of quality. But plenty to take out of it, I think, in terms of what we're seeing from this team. There's heart there, there's courage there, and I think that makes up potentially for a lack of flair and ability in some parts of the pitch. It's a team that we can rally behind. And just looking back over the week, really, as a whole, it's Norwich, obviously, we lost 4-2 in really, really disappointing circumstances. Yesterday against Rotherham, we won. Yeah, but it's against the bottom team and it wasn't a great performance. So from a footballing point of view, you know, pretty average as a week. But Colin mentioned it on his day on Tuesday about the curry beforehand, the tradition of that, and spending time with Ollie and his son. And really, that is kind of what these sort of things are all about. Yesterday up at Rotherham, saw loads of friendly and familiar faces, stopping for chats all the time, talking about football, talking about all sorts of different things. It was great to be outside talking to people about stuff, friendly faces, that we all got something in common. We all got the love of Watford in common. And the other thing we have in common is the knowledge that we probably weren't going to see anything out of the ordinary yesterday. We weren't going to see Watford win 6-0. We weren't there to watch a team that is challenging for Europe or a cup. We all knew that, really. But we went anyway. And the reason we went was because we get something out of it. There's that sense of belonging and that sense of just being in something together, the sense of wanting something good to happen, the sense of committing to it, you know, emotionally and financially, and just putting your shoulder behind it. And I think you get out what you put in. And we spend a lot of time talking about the X's and O's and who plays well in which position. And of course, that's a massive part of it. Supporting a football club is far more fun when your team is winning and when you've got a good side doing good things. But ultimately, days like evenings like Colin's and Ollie's on Tuesday and mine and Arlo's yesterday, is that is what it's all about. Being part of something, committing to it and committing to getting something out of it. The football is both the most important and least important aspect of supporting the club, if that makes sense. You don't need to have an amazing team to have an amazing time supporting it. So, dreadful game yesterday. Spent 60 quid on petrol or whatever. Price of Burger King's gone up, by the way, as well. So I spent more money than I probably should have. Would I do it all again? I'd go and do it right this minute. Absolutely loved every minute of it. Thanks for listening to my waffle as the day progressed. Thanks to Ollie and Colin for their reporting from Norwich. Thanks to absolutely everyone for continuing to listen and engage with From the Rookery End. It really does mean the world to all of us. We really appreciate it, and thank you for listening and giving us your time. Come on, you horns!